Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. You know, we take the really dense source material, all that research, your notes, the sources you grapple with, and we try to pull out the crucial, actionable insights you actually need. Today, we are tackling what feels like the defining debate right now, AI governance. But we're going way beyond the usual policy talk, the checklist. We're stepping into this, well, comprehensive framework. It claims to be nothing less than the conscious evolution of governance itself.
Okay.
Our mission, then, is to really deep dive into something called awakened AI governance, or AI-AIG. It's a model presented in the sources as this necessary systemic bridge, something that unites real leadership, deep ethics, and all this accelerating tech. And crucially, it promises to move us all, organizations, nations past what the source material really pointedly calls governance theater.
Yeah, that phrase governance theater, it really hits home, doesn't it? It's the diagnosis. It captures the core problem this whole framework is trying to solve. Because when you look around globally at AI regulation right now, what do you actually see? You see frameworks kind of rushed out, right? Policies that are incredibly fragmented, and rules that honestly often seem designed more for controlling who gets market access or maybe maximizing profit than for, you know, genuine conscience or a deeper purpose.
Right. So you end up in this weird spot where the whole field is just dominated by technical compliance. A company rolls out some super sophisticated system, points to a checklist from a regulator and says, look, we did it. We followed the steps.
Yeah.
But in doing that, like you said, they've often just sidestepped the really hard questions, questions about human dignity, about systemic responsibility, long-term purpose for society.
Yeah.
They're just left hanging. Ethics becomes this optional extra.
Exactly. And the innovation pace, it's exponential, which is incredible, of course. But the sources are arguing that without a clear, conscious, ethical direction for all that speed, well, technology doesn't fix inequality or injustice. It just makes the existing problems bigger. It scales up inequality. It fuels surveillance. And it leads to this really profound erosion of public trust. And then you look at the international efforts. They often just multiply, but then they collapse into these sort of shallow power struggles. Very little real impact. So the central claim of AIIAG, really, is that to truly govern technology isn't about performing safety stunts just for PR, for reputation management. It's about committing to structural, substantive change, moving from just doing the bare minimum for compliance to actually being driven by maximum purpose.
Okay. Let's unpack that shift then. AIIAG is setting itself up as the counterstory to that checklist mentality. Mm. It's fundamentally trying to shift the focus away from just regulatory compliance, which, yeah, often treats ethics like that tiny little box you tick right at the very end,
right,
just before you ship the product. It sounds like it's trying to embed that conscience much, much earlier in the whole process.
That's absolutely right. The current way of doing things, it lets responsibility get scattered across completely different departments. You know, legal handles the compliance paperwork. The tech team, they're laser focused on performance metrics, ethics. Well, if there is an ethics committee, it's often siloed, totally separate. And this diffusion of accountability, that's a heart of governance theater. You get these impressive looking frameworks on paper, but they fail precisely because they don't actually confront the real power dynamics. They don't address how influence is really distributed by these AI systems. They manage the reputation, not the systemic risk.
So, okay, if the old question, the insufficient one, was basically, are we compliant, which is all procedural,
mm-hmm.
What are the foundational questions that awakened AI governance forces us to grapple with? It sounds like it's demanding something much tougher, more systemic.
It demands an ethical core, yeah, but applied systemically. Mm-hmm. AIAIG insists that all decisions, right from the earliest design sketches through deployment through iteration, have to be guided by three critical questions. And these are focused squarely on systemic responsibility. So the first one is, does the system strengthen or undermine human agency? This is huge. In these automated contexts, agency means, you know, can you make informed choices? Can you understand why a decision was made about you? Can you have meaningful input? This question forces institutions to really look hard at whether their AI tools are actually empowering people or if they're just stripping away their ability to choose to understand their own lives. Think about like automated welfare benefit systems. If the decision is just spat out by a black box, it's totally opaque, impossible to appeal. Well, it's completely undermined agency.
Wow. Yeah, that immediately clarifies the stakes. The system has to serve the person, not the other way around. Seems obvious, but often isn't.
Precisely. Then, the second critical question, how does it distribute power, and to whom are we accountable? This hits that fragmentation problem head on. It demands transparency about where the real decision-making authority lies. Is it hidden in the algorithm? Is it in the data set? Is it with the company leadership? It forces a clear line of sight to who's actually calling the shots, who holds the influence, makes accountability unavoidable. And the third one, what happens when it fails and who bears the consequences? This is about going beyond just simple technical liability, you know, the stuff often buried in the fine print. This question makes you grapple with the broader societal fallout, the economic damage, the social harm, the psychological impact, when these incredibly complex interconnected systems inevitably screw up. It's really an inquiry into true stewardship.
Okay, that is a fundamental paradigm shift. You're moving from governance based on ticking boxes to governance rooted in real, substantive, human-centered values. Designed for collective flourishing, not just process. This isn't just better project management we're talking about. It sounds like building oversight structures that are consciously designed to actually evolve alongside the technology itself.
And that evolutionary piece, that adaptive capability, that's what really sets this framework apart, according to the sources. The measure of success for AIAIG isn't just how many pages your regulatory document has or how elegant the text is. It's whether the systems you deploy are demonstrably serving human purpose and demonstrably building systemic trust. And that demands governance structures capable of meaningful oversight, reaching right up to the top decision makers, and integrating real public engagement, not just token consultations.
So how does this model actually support that level of, well, systemic evolution and stability? Especially when tech moves so incredibly fast. The sources introduce these core anchors, four structural pillars. So you could think of these less like reactive policies and more like foundational principles, meant to bake human values and wisdom right into the tech's power source.
That's a good way to put it. They provide the essential structural integrity, the stability. They're meant to transcend reactive policymaking because they provide that core foundation. So when the technology shifts, and it always will, the essential mission, the core values of the system, they don't get thrown out. They remain stable.
Okay, let's dig into the first one. Inner vision. This sounds like it's about anchoring all that tech capability and wisdom, not just chasing efficiency or market share gains. What does that actually demand from, say, an organization in practice?
Inner vision demands that every single AI initiative has to start with this moment of deep, almost existential questioning, asking things like, okay, what world are we actually building here? Whose flourishing does this truly serve? Are we operating from fear or competition or from a genuinely elevated purpose? Unquote. It forces organizations to look way beyond the immediate competitive win and really challenge their own internal assumptions about why they're doing what they're doing.
But wait, doesn't almost every corporation have a mission statement somewhere? How's this different from the usual corporate values posters you see on the wall?
It's the difference between a slogan on a poster and an active filter for decisions. Inner vision requires the choices are made from a place of genuine, long-term human purpose, not just maximizing next quarter's metrics or getting one up on the competition. This means actively filtering out projects that might look highly profitable, but actually violate that long-term vision of strengthening society. So, for example, maybe stopping the deployment of a really effective but totally opaque data scraping tool because its lack of transparency fundamentally eats away at public trust and agency, even if it adds immediate value to the bottom line. It's about aligning technology with humanity's highest possibilities, making sure it emerges from awakened intention, not just, you know, blind, profit-hungry innovation.
Yeah, that's the friction point right there, isn't it? That willingness to potentially sacrifice short-term gain for that longer-term purpose, that takes courage. Okay, the second anchor is heart-centered alignment. This sounds, well, it sounds very rooted in compassion and human dignity, things that often get dismissed as soft skills maybe. But here it's framed as a structural requirement for governance to actually work.
It is presented as a requirement. The idea is that true governance has to flow from genuine compassion and a profound respect for human dignity. Heart-centered alignment ensures that AI systems embody trust and care right at their core. They have to be designed not just to sort of avoid harm, but to actively enhance human potential and to carefully avoid exploiting human vulnerabilities, whether those are cognitive biases or emotional triggers. If you build a system through this kind of alignment, it fundamentally changes the role AI plays. It shifts it away from being potentially a tool of control, like some invasive surveillance tech, and turns it into an instrument of service. By design, systems built this way would naturally protect privacy, enhance agency, strengthen community bonds instead of fragmenting them. It moves beyond the passive do no harm to an active commitment to strengthen humanity.
Okay, so an example of a lack of heart-centered alignment might be like an algorithm specifically designed to exploit known cognitive biases just to maximize ad clicks or keep you scrolling, right?
Yeah.
Even if that ends up fueling social division or spreading misinformation.
Precisely. A system rooted in heart-centered alignment would measure its success differently, not just on engagement metrics, but on whether it genuinely fostered well-being and connection. It would use data collection processes that actively support the user's agency, treating people like co-creators of value, not just, you know, resources to be mined for data.
Right. That makes sense.
Right.
Which brings us to the third anchor, life's essence. So if inner vision gives the direction and heart-centered alignment provides the morality, life's essence seems to be about maintaining integrity while staying adaptive, resilient. This feels like where the framework tackles that speed problem we talked about.
Exactly. Life's essence provides the structural resilience and agility you absolutely need in this high-speed tech environment. It allows the systems and the governance around them to respond quickly when crises hit. You know, an outbreak of algorithmic bias, a total system failure, or maybe some deeply unintended social consequence nobody saw coming. But crucially, even while responding super rapidly, the system and its governance have to stay rooted in those fundamental principles laid down by inner vision and heart-centered alignment.
Yeah, this is where I found that analogy in the sources pretty helpful. It suggests this pillar ensures governance can flow like water around obstacles while maintaining its essential nature. It enables that fast, adaptive response without throwing core human values overboard.
It's dynamic stability. That's the key. It prevents the system from getting locked into outdated methods or rigid rules that no longer apply. If the technology shifts dramatically, the governance model has to be creative enough to shift the regulatory response almost instantly. It demands co-creation, constant creativity, ensuring integrity is baked in even during high-speed adaptation. If the core principles are solid, the response to a crisis will naturally serve life, even if the specific method of governance has to change overnight.
Okay, and then finally, we land on materiality. This seems to ground the entire thing. Because you can have the clearest vision, the most profound ethics, the most adaptive structure.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't actually show up in tangible, measurable outcomes in the real world, it's just, well, philosophical theater, right?
Precisely. Materiality is the anchor that ensures these maybe sometimes grand sounding governance principles actually translate into tangible, lived outcomes, things people experience directly in their daily lives. It ensures the vision is grounded in actionable reality.
Let's get specific, though. If traditional compliance focuses on process metrics, like did we document the decision? Did we mask 100% of the PII data? What does materiality focus on instead?
Materiality shifts the focus to impact metrics. The goal isn't just being legally compliant, it's demonstrating a positive, measurable difference in the actual world. So instead of just tracking if PII data was masked, a materiality metric might track something like a 20% measured increase in user trust scores within the target community, or maybe a documented reduction in demographic bias in loan approvals, or even a decreased incidence of platform-driven social polarization. This is where abstract policy documents become real solutions. Laws that actually protect, systems that genuinely serve, communities that thrive. It makes governance real, delivering outcomes people can see and trust.
Wow. Okay, that structure, the four anchors giving stability and values, feels incredibly robust. But you mentioned earlier the need for movement, for evolution. The sources then bring in this concept of the living rhythm. So the anchors define what we govern, and the rhythm defines how we govern it continuously.
That's a perfect way to frame it, yeah. The anchors are the structural foundation, the bedrock. The living rhythm is the continuous process, these five steps that translate clarity into action and ensure technology stays accountable to human purpose over time. It's the mechanism for evolving the governance structures themselves, providing that continuous beat you need to keep pace with innovation.
All right, let's walk through that rhythm. Step one is accept.
Accept. It means facing reality squarely, without denial, without making excuses. Governance has to start by recognizing challenges, things like algorithmic bias, systemic inequality, opaque decision-making, recognizing them not as, you know, rare exceptions or edge cases you can just patch over, but as structural issues, often inherent in the data itself or in the design incentives. If you don't openly name these fundamental distortions and their real consequences, for instance, accepting that historical data inherently contains bias, then real solutions just can't get started. Denial paralyzes any chance of genuine reform.
Okay, so once you've accepted it, the next step is see perception in clarity. Now that we've accepted the system's flaws, we need to really understand what they look like in action, right?
Yes. Acceptance opens the door to perception. C is the ability to distinguish clearly between innovation that genuinely serves life and a pure exploitation that might be hiding behind technical jargon or impressive performance stats. It's the clarity you need to identify when AI is truly strengthening human trust and when it's secretly undermining dignity or eroding freedom. This step is absolutely critical in the age of black box algorithms because it prevents developers or deployers from hiding the harm behind claims of neutrality or just focusing on surface level metrics.
Yeah, I can see how vital that clarity is. Inside a black box, harm can be incredibly obscured. It takes a conscious act of will to look beyond those surface metrics and really see the social damage that might be happening underneath. Okay, third step, unite. We already touched on fragmentation being a huge problem, compliance here, ethics over there.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Tech doing its own thing. Unite sounds like the direct countermeasure to that isolation.
It is the demand for coherence, for systemic alignment. AI governance just cannot stay fragmented across private companies, a patchwork of different regulators, the public sector, all operating with different rules, different incentives. Unite demands shared standards, transparent practices, and systemic alignment across all the stakeholders nationally and internationally. It's the movement that stops governance from splintering into these isolated silos and instead builds common ground for accountability.
But here's the rub, isn't it? Who actually has the power to enforce Unite? Especially when you've got powerful corporate interests maybe wanting to keep their standards proprietary versus public regulators demanding openness. Does the framework offer a mechanism for arbitrating that power struggle?
Well, the framework implies that the power to unite comes from that shared recognition established back in the accept and see phases, that the long-term cost of fragmentation actually outweighs the short-term benefit of keeping things proprietary or siloed. It really necessitates leadership, which is core to AIG leadership, that's courageous enough to prioritize the collective good, that's materiality again, over isolated, self-interested control. It tries to shift the arbitration away from just being a legal battle over jurisdiction towards being an ethical requirement for shared stewardship.
Okay, that makes sense. It relies on a shift in perspective. Next up is shift. This sounds like it takes the clarity and unity you've achieved and really embeds it deep into the system's DNA. Turning those one-off policy fixes into lasting structural integrity.
Exactly. Shift is where governance matures from just reacting to finding a sustainable rhythm. It moves AI regulation beyond the chaos of short-term policy debates and knee-jerk crisis responses. And it transforms those hard-won lessons into systemic patterns, creating a lasting harmony between innovation and responsibility. It takes that temporary fix you put on a loophole and transforms it into a structural rhythm that carries integrity consistently across nations, across industries. It's the difference between just writing a new rule and fundamentally changing the culture of how AI is developed and deployed.
And finally, the step that acknowledges the frankly brutal reality of technological speed. Improvise.
Improvise is absolutely essential because, let's face it, the sources explicitly state this. AI evolves way faster than any regulation can possibly be written, debated, passed, and enforced. It's just not possible. So this step ensures that governance can actually keep pace, but without abandoning principle. It's the adaptive rhythm. It empowers systems, both the technical systems and the human governance systems, to adapt, correct, and redesign rapidly while staying rigorously rooted in those core anchors we talked about. This step basically prevents the whole governance system from collapsing when the technology inevitably outruns the letter of the law. Think about autonomous systems, for example. They must have correction mechanisms baked right in, mechanisms that use the principles of inner vision and heart-centered alignment to make real-time ethical adjustments, essentially, improvising responsibly when they face completely novel, undefined situations. So together, these five steps, accept, see, unite, shift, improvise, they form this living rhythm, ensuring the governance strategy prioritizes coherence and dynamic integrity over just static check-the-box compliance.
That whole structure, the anchors for stable values, the rhythm for continuous movement, it makes this sound incredibly comprehensive. It's definitely not just a philosophical model. It feels like a systemic architecture, really designed for high-speed engagement with technology. Let's shift gears now to the application, the real so what of all this. The framework is described as this living architecture that reaches into multiple dimensions of society, really proving that you can't silo governance and leadership.
Yeah, that interlocking nature is fundamental. First off, at its very core, governance and leadership in AI are seen as completely inseparable. The sources argue that systems designed without integrity just end up replicating and scaling the flaws of their creators, their leaders. Awakened leadership is what ensures that intelligence, whether it's human intelligence or artificial, is applied with vision, with presence, with courage. It's that critical bridge that transforms high-minded principles into reliable everyday practice. Leadership essentially provides the fuel for the system to actually follow the rhythm and respect the anchors.
Okay, and then we get into specific domains of application, starting with the public sector AI. This is where governments are using AI for things like taxation, security, healthcare monitoring, stuff that impacts millions of citizens directly and profoundly.
Right. And without this kind of awakened governance, these deployments carry a huge risk of becoming insidious tools for surveillance and control, and they often disproportionately affect already vulnerable populations. AIIAG demands that public sector AI must strengthen citizen rights, empower people through transparency, and embody fairness in every single automated interaction. That goes for everything from the design of judicial algorithms to how social welfare benefits are decided. The focus absolutely has to be on constitutional conscience, on collective well-being, not just political performance or making administration easier.
And then flipping to the corporate side, we have enterprise AI governance.
Yeah.
This is the huge challenge of corporate responsibility, especially since corporations are really the main engine driving AI acceleration.
For corporations, this framework is pretty insistent. Governance has to move far beyond just managing reputation or meeting the bare minimum legal compliance. It has to become a long-term, verifiable practice of building trust, rooted in that principle of materiality. That demands transparent algorithms, accountable supply chains, products designed not just to be not harmful, but to genuinely enhance human dignity. It represents a deep commitment that profit won't be allowed to eclipse purpose. Ensuring innovation truly serves as a channel of service, not exploitation.
Okay, now let's get really granular. The application of the framework across what the sources call the subclusters of life. These are the critical domains where AI has the most immediate, tangible impact day to day. This is where we really see the anchors and the rhythm being put into action.
Exactly. These subclusters really illustrate the breadth and the practical utility of the framework. Let's maybe start with justice. Okay. So the primary challenge in the justice system is often inherited data bias, right? You see it in things like pretrial risk assessment algorithms that end up perpetuating historical discrimination. Now, traditional compliance checks might just look at the model's overall accuracy, but awakened governance, using the accept and see steps of the living rhythm, forces the system to first accept the structural nature of that bias, and then to see exactly where it results in different outcomes for different demographics, not just looking at the averages.
Ah, okay. So instead of just checking if the code runs without errors, the governance check demands that the algorithm be evaluated specifically for its actual societal impact on equality under the law.
Absolutely. The goal is designing legal algorithms, predictive tools that genuinely uphold fairness, transparency, and equality, preventing embedded biases from just making systemic harm worse. It requires that heart-centered alignment to value things like rehabilitation and fairness over just punitive efficiency.
Makes sense. Moving to healthcare. This is a domain where the data is incredibly sensitive and the consequences of failure are literally life and death.
In healthcare, the application has to be guided by dignity, by a patient-first clarity. AI is being used for diagnostics, personalized well-being plans, managing vast amounts of data. Awakened governance, really driven by that inner vision anchor, must ensure that the technology guides treatments and health decisions in a way that truly maximizes human well-being, not just maximizing administrative efficiency or, say, insurance provider profit. For example, an AI diagnostic tool, it has to strengthen patient agency. That means clearly explaining its reasoning, its confidence levels, allowing human doctors and patients to make the final informed decision together. It requires materiality to measure not just how fast the diagnosis was, but actual patient trust and demonstrable improvements in long-term health outcomes.
Then there's education, a sector that's often obsessed, maybe overly so, with standardized testing and metrics.
Right. Awakened AI in education has to ensure that learning systems enhance curiosity, that they unleash true human intelligence, nurture critical thinking, rather than just reducing students or teachers or even entire institutions down to data points for easier management. You know, a compliance-driven education AI might just optimize for higher test scores, but an awakened AI guided by heart-centered alignment would optimize for creativity, for comprehensive human development. It means the system has to be able to improvise learning pathways based on a student's real evolving needs, ensuring personalized education truly serves that individual's full potential, not just slotting them into a rigid standardized curriculum.
And how does this apply in finance? A sector driven by high-speed automation and, let's be honest, massive potential risk.
In finance, the goal is aligning systems with stability and public trust. The sheer speed and complexity of automated trading, automated lending, it often leads to these opaque algorithms that can unfortunately exploit people who are economically vulnerable. The principle of unite is really critical here. It demands common ground, shared standards across the industry to actively avoid exploitation through biased automation. Think about areas like credit scoring or automated debt collection. And materiality here means measuring the system's actual impact on things like wealth distribution and overall financial stability, ensuring that technology acts as a safeguard against systemic collapse rather than an accelerant of financial inequality.
Wow, okay. Even massive global issues like the climate crisis are included in this framework scope.
Yes, absolutely. This demands that intelligence, human and artificial, gets channeled into sustainability, into conservation, ecological restoration. It's a fundamental application of life's essence, but on a planetary scale. It shifts the technological focus away from just optimizing resource extraction towards optimizing ecological resilience and long-term planetary health. It requires acknowledging that human flourishing is completely inseparable from the health of our environment.
And finally, security. This is so often framed as the ultimate trade-off, right? Freedom versus safety.
Awakened AI and security aims to ensure that national defense systems, cyber systems, can protect life without simultaneously eroding fundamental freedoms or human rights. The sources are clear. This is about protecting life, but not by turning systems into tools for perpetual, opaque control. The governance has to have the agility driven by that shift step in the rhythm to continually rebalance defense needs against the unwavering ethical requirements of human dignity and agency.
It's become abundantly clear throughout this discussion that this framework is deeply rooted in the belief that ethics isn't just important, it's paramount. The source material is incredibly blunt about this. It says, ethics cannot be some appendix you tack onto innovation. It must be the awakened conscience right at the center of every single decision.
That is the entire premise, yes. To govern AI without ethics is described in the sources as basically releasing intelligence into the world without a compass, without a map. And when that conscience is missing, the argument goes, progress actually corrodes the very societies it claims to serve. It turns AI into an accelerant for inequality, for generalized mistrust.
And this goes way beyond just a simple checklist of things you shouldn't do, as you noted earlier. It's about that awakened conscience deciding at the deepest level whether applying intelligence actually strengthens life or destabilizes it. We have to ask if the systems honor human dignity in their design, in the data they use, in the outcomes they produce, not just how quickly or efficiently we can deploy them.
Absolutely. The goal is holding innovation and responsibility in this perfect dynamic rhythm. We don't want technology moving so fast that it just dismantles societal trust. But equally, we don't want responsibility to become so rigid that it paralyzes essential, purpose-driven progress. We need that dynamic equilibrium. And that is the core task of awakened AI governance, ensuring technology reflects compassion, fairness, and responsibility at every single scale.
Now, to help leaders actually achieve this high level of discernment, this structural integrity, the framework apparently offers a specific tool, the Awakened Leadership Compass.
Yes, the compass is presented as a kind of living embodiment of awakened intelligence itself. It functions as a research and analysis tool. It allows leaders to apply all these principles from AIAG, from awakened governance more broadly, and awakened leadership to the really pressing systemic challenges they face, whether those are internal organizational issues or external global ones. It's designed to help leaders in nations, in institutions, in technology firms to discern illusion from truth, the sources say, see from the right place, and then to act with real clarity and principled courage. And it's not limited just to AI. It extends into global governance, political decision-making, organizational stewardship. It's continually evolving based on the foundational principles of the broader awakened leadership movement.
And this entire framework, from the anchors in the rhythm right through to the compass, it's attributed in the sources to Sandeep Mehra.
Yeah.
He's named as the global pioneer of awakened leadership and the founder of the awakened leadership movement. The whole system apparently flows directly through his awakened leadership decision framework and model.
That's right. His work, as presented, is really focused on trying to restore trust, responsibility, and purpose in this new age of intelligence. It's based on the recognition that governance can't just survive on external compliance checklists alone. It has to awaken from its core. And this system integrates seamlessly with other related concepts mentioned, like awakened global governance and awakened diplomacy, forming what's described as a single, coherent, integrated ecosystem of conscious leadership.
So to try and wrap this all up for you listening, awakened AI governance, based on this deep dive into the sources, isn't being presented as just another round of policy reform or some kind of regulatory tweak. It's being framed as the conscious evolution of how humanity guides its most powerful technologies. It's really a foundational shift away from just managing risk towards actively stewarding purpose.
That really is the ultimate takeaway. In a world where AI is rapidly reshaping, well, pretty much every aspect of human experience, this kind of awakened approach to governance becomes essential. Essential for collective flourishing, essential for planetary integrity. It's about ensuring that human values remain the stable center of this intelligence age, even as everything else just keeps accelerating around us.
And the sources leave us with a really powerful final thought, a provocation, actually, that kind of flips the usual narrative on its head. Technology is not the future of humanity. Humanity is the future of technology.
Yeah, that statement forces you to really reevaluate who's in control, doesn't it? It makes you ask, what might it actually look like when governance shifts completely, shifts away from being compliance-focused, just chasing the bare legal minimums, and instead becomes fundamentally purpose-driven, where the only metric for success is verifiable, collective human flourishing, and the active preservation of agency. The future of AI governance, according to this view, doesn't lie in just writing better rules or faster rules. It lies in awakened consciousness applied consistently, diligently to technological stewardship. Definitely something for all of us to think about as these systems continue to shape the very structure of our world.